We know for a long, long time now what's happening in the Holy Land. We know it because we've been studying Islamic eschatology. Only Islamic eschatology can explain the reality of events which have been unfolding in the Holy Land, in the state of Israel. And if you do not understand and penetrate the reality of a situation, how can you respond to it? So, the first thing I have to say in response to the events that have been taking place in Jerusalem and in Gaza is that I have to ask you, if you have not as yet done your homework, if you have not as yet done your homework and you're full of spirit, you want to respond, to do your homework first. And that means to go to the Quran, primarily the Quran, and then to the Hadith of the Prophet to understand the events which have been unfolding in the Holy Land for at least 100 years or more now. And my book, Jerusalem in the Quran, which was written 20 years ago, would be beneficial for you. I wrote that book for two reasons. The first was because a man called, a Zionist called Daniel Pipes, I have difficulty in even mentioning his name, who studied under Ismail Farouki, marhum, at Temple University, and did a PhD in Islamic studies, a Zionist. He had the audacity to declare that we have no claim to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is not even mentioned in the Quran. He published this article in the Los Angeles Times about 25, 30 years ago. It was a response to Daniel Pipes that I wrote Jerusalem in the Quran. And then I wrote it because of that famous elder brother of mine, Dr. Kareem Siddiqui, rahimahullah, who had established the Muslim Institute for Research and Planning in London and was organizing wonderful Islamic conferences in London, the likes of which we've never had for the last 20 years. And I was studying in Geneva and I used to go over to London to attend these conferences. So in one of these conferences, Dr. Kareem Siddiqui called me aside and we sat down privately and we were having a coffee. And then he said to me, Imran, you have been trained for this job. Maulana Fadlur Rahman Ansari trained you. And you also have international relations now. You're doing your PhD. You have to write the book on Jerusalem in the Quran. And that's why the book was written. Because of the appeal of Dr. Kareem Siddiqui and because of the effrontery of Daniel Pipes. If you want to know how to respond to what's happening in the Holy Land, why don't you begin by reading that book? It has remained a bestseller for 20 years now. But in addition to that pioneering work, Jerusalem in the Quran, I have now written several more books on Islamic eschatology, all of them centered on Jerusalem. So that's my first response. Before you jump up to take a sword to travel to Jerusalem, to liberate Jerusalem, I ask of you to do your homework first and do some studies in this subject, Ilmu Akhir Zaman, or Islamic eschatology, in which Jerusalem has center place. And my books on Islamic eschatology would help you in understanding the subject. You don't have to buy the books, you can download them free of charge from my website. When you do that, you will understand that what is unfolding in the Holy Land has been explained in the Quran. And I have offered that explanation, but unfortunately, while there are so many of you, the young ones, who have easily understood what the Quran was saying and have accepted it and are moving on. The world of Islamic scholarship, the Maulanas, the Muftis, the Shuyukh, and the university educated Islamic scholars adamantly, obstinately, resolutely refuse to accept my views on Gog and Magog. And that's where you start. That is where you start. If you want to respond to what is happening in Jerusalem, you got to study Gog and Magog. Otherwise, you're going to end up like Tipu Sultan and Saddam Hussein. This is not the occasion for me to repeat the explanation of Gog and Magog. Hizb ut-Tahrir is a wonderful organization, and I respect Hizb ut-Tahrir, but they would not accept my views on Gog and Magog. And I'm warning you. If you do not study Gog and Magog in the Quran, you cannot understand what's happening in the Holy Land. So get to work and study Gog and Magog. And when you do that, you'll recognize the status and the role, the origin, the status and the role of modern Western civilization. You will understand the alliance between Christians and Jews, who are all Zionists, within the heart of modern Western civilization. You will understand why Allah has prohibited you, in the Quran, from maintaining friendly ties and being allies of that Judeo-Christian alliance, which has NATO as its military arm. I am cutting short all of these subjects, which are very long. I'm doing that for you to tell you the homework you have to do if you want to respond to what is happening to the Holy Land. You don't want me to engage in microanalysis and give you all the politics that's going on and so on, the micro events. That's not my field. My field is the macro. My field is to give you the long-term response to what is happening in the Holy Land. And then you'll understand, if we're not allowed to have friendly relations and being allies of modern Western civilization, how come? How come all of us are members of the International Monetary Fund? When Allah has prohibited in the Quran, how come Pakistan is still a member of the International Monetary Fund, a member state? And Iran is a member state of the IMF, and every single Muslim country, member state of the IMF. Now then, I have much more to say. I'm just giving you a taste of what is the response to what's happening in the Holy Land before you pick up your sword. The IMF was designed to put a rope around your neck. And the IMF has already succeeded magnificently so in putting a rope around the necks of every Muslim country. And so your prime minister has to be rushing here and there to try to find money to save and avert a default on external loans. That's where Imran Khan is now, searching for money to avoid a default on an external loan. They did not lend you money just to make money and become rich. When will you understand? Why don't you read Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins? Why and when would you read Confessions of an Economic Hitman by John Perkins? They lent you money in order to put a rope around your neck. That's why they gave you loans. And they don't want you to get rid of that rope around your neck. So they will do everything to ensure that you cannot escape. When will you understand? 20 years ago, here in Pindi, here in Rawalpindi, in a public lecture, I remember 20 years ago I said what you have to do to get this rope from around your neck to be removed so that you don't remain a slave of the modern West. That you cannot, you don't have the freedom to respond, because if you do this, they'll attack your money and the money will go down in value and the whole economy will be crumbling. runaway inflation. That's what they did in Venezuela when Hugo Chavez stood up to resist them. That's what they did in Zimbabwe when Robert Mugabe stood up to resist them. That's the weapon they have. It's the most dangerous weapon of all that they have, to deny you your freedom. A slave country cannot wage war. A slave country cannot liberate Jerusalem. No matter if you have nuclear weapons in Pakistan, you can't wage any war over a long period of time, maybe a day or two. You cannot wage war. You cannot liberate a land when you have this sword hanging over your head, that if you make one step of defiance, your money will crumble. Your economy will go berserk. You can't wage war like that. So if you want to respond to them and you want to be faithful to the Quran, the long-term process is to recover your freedom. Let me repeat that. If you want to liberate Jerusalem, you have to first recover your freedom. Russia has done it. They tried to make Russia their slave. Yes, they did. But Russia has not become their slave. Russia is a free country. That's why Russia could stand up and resist them. China is a free country. China could stand up and resist them. China is not a slave. But Pakistan is a slave. It's a slave country. So then what do we do if we want to respond to the oppression in Jerusalem, the oppression in the Holy Land? It's not just to pick up a sword and jump up. That's another way to respond to liberate Jerusalem. So wake up, my little schoolboys. If you want to liberate Jerusalem, you have to do it in a sensible and intelligent way. And the first step along that road is to recover your freedom. How can we recover our freedom when the Pakistan rupee is so vulnerable? One small step, and it slides down. Answer. I'm not going to take much time because I don't want this video to be too long. But I want to put it down into the record so all those who are listening to me will learn now. And if we plant this seed today, maybe 5-10 years, tomorrow we have scholars. We don't have scholars today. Dinar and dirham are in the Quran. The State Bank of Pakistan doesn't know that, or the National Bank. The government of Pakistan doesn't know that, or probably doesn't care about that. I don't know about the armed forces. But you, the people, must know that the word dinar is in the Quran, the word dirham is in the Quran, and it is the Sunnah. Money in Islam is dinar and dirham. You want to challenge me? Come, I'm ready for your challenge. Come with your PhD from MIT. I'm ready for you. Because money in the Quran and money in the Sunnah is dinar and dirham, and it is money with intrinsic value. You differ with me, you want to challenge me, come, I'm ready for you. I've studied my subject. Allah made it halal, the IMF made it haram. You don't know that it's haram, that it's shirk, but we know it's shirk because we are faithful to the Quran. And so what do? The IMF prevents us from using dinar and dirham as money. You have to defy the IMF. You have to wage a mighty jihad in this country, not with swords. You have to wage a mighty jihad in the world of knowledge and the world of truth. To get the State Bank of Pakistan, to get the government of Pakistan to recognize dinar and dirham as legal tender. We're not saying to get rid of your bogus rupee. We're not saying that. The bogus rupee can remain. But you cannot deny what Allah has given in the Quran. But if you want to get dinar and dirham as legal tender in the Quran, you have to leave the IMF because the IMF prohibits it. So make your choice, Pakistan. Make your choice, Pakistan. Are you going to remain faithful to the IMF or are you going to remain faithful to Allah? I am asking you this question in blessed Ramadan because we've not seen the moon as yet. Are you going to remain faithful to the IMF for the next 70 years? Or are you going to remain faithful to Allah and His and the truth which is in the Quran? Make your choice. And if your choice is to remain faithful to the IMF, you will remain a slave. Because that's what the IMF was created for. When you have dinar and dirham as legal tender in this country, you have taken the first step on the road to freedom. The freedom that you need to respond to Israeli oppression against our people. Are you understanding me now? This is a long road. You don't just pick up your sword like Don Quixote and go to fight the windmill. No, you have to think. You have to plan and you have to be faithful to the truth in the Quran. When you do that and dinar and dirham are in the market, because the market will bring it. After that, when the market has the dinar and dirham, then you make your next step. And the next step is to, I'm going to use some difficult language now. You have to argue that the moral law is the highest law. And the moral law has zero tolerance for oppression. Did you hear me? The moral law is the highest law. And the moral law has zero tolerance for oppression. And money being lent on interest is oppression. Riba is oppression. It's a rope around your neck. There is no escape from it. That's why they've designed it like this. So you'll have to unilaterally repudiate the obligation of paying interest on all your loans. A unilateral repudiation of all interest payments on external loans. We are not going to pay any more interest. Harhal. We're not negotiating with you. We're not seeking your permission. We are informing you that the moral law is the highest law and this is oppression. We're not going to submit to the oppression. We're not paying any more interest. The only way you can do that, Pakistan, is if you have a backbone. And Imam Ruhollah Khomeini, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini in Iran, that man had backbone. He pointed to the United States of America in their face and he said, "You are Shaitan al-Kabir." Can you imagine your foreign minister speaking like that? If you want Europe to recover freedom, Pakistan, you have to have backbone. And this takes backbone. Unilateral repudiation of all interest payments on external loans to those money lenders. And you say, "I will repay you the principal sum we borrowed." Yes, because Allah has ordained that. But we will repay you the principal sum according to our capacity to repay and not in accordance with your timetable. If you do that, then prepare for war. Because this is the road to freedom. And that's the one thing they don't want you to have, freedom. Prepare for war. But I have confidence in the Pakistani people. That's why I'm here. That if they have to wage war to be a free people, the people of Pakistan will wage war. Even the secularized elite in Pakistan will wake up. And Pakistan will say, "We are prepared to eat dal and roti. We are prepared to wage war in order to be a free people." That's why I'm here in Pakistan. If you do that, you are now taking the rope from around your neck. Because once you make this announcement, "We're not paying any more interest. But we'll repay you the capital sum only on the basis of our capacity to repay. They will come after you like mad dogs, and they will attack your money. That's their favorite tool. And so you'll be runaway inflation. That's their favorite tool. These barbarians who now rule the world as moneylenders. My language is harsh for them. But wait until Allah deals with them. You see how Allah will deal with them. And when your rupee goes into runaway inflation, you already have the backup. The dinar and dirham will then take over the market. And your economy will be saved. This is a taste. I'm giving you a taste of the way in which you have to engage in long-term planning in order to recover freedom, in order to be able to respond to what is happening in the Holy Land. We know what's the end game. Read my books on Islamic eschatology. There are many who have been reading it. For years now, Jerusalem in the Quran was published 20 years ago. 20 years ago. Gog and Magog was written about 15 years ago. And so many other books on Dajjal have already been written. You just have to read them. But you prefer your smartphone and you want everything as a little video and you don't want to read. But remember, Allah says in the Quran, عَلَّمَ بِالْقَلَمِ. Allah teaches with a pen. And so I'm not going to give up that to pander to your taste for only digital stuff. I'm not going to do that. I ask of you to read, get a book and read this. Read and learn. What does Allah say in the Quran about the events unfolding in the Holy Land? What does Allah, as Allah's messenger said, about the events unfolding in the Holy Land? This is Islamic eschatology. And it is the most important branch of knowledge for understanding the reality of the world today. Nobody has more knowledge of the end time than the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. We have the most knowledge. It is a tragedy that this branch of knowledge was never established. And we were only studying this in the classes of hadith. I know I was a student. Alhamdulillah, I thank Allah who has blessed me to pioneer this branch. I'm not boasting. Be charitable towards me, please. I'm not boasting. You boast, Allah takes away your knowledge. I have struggled for 20, 25 years in the wilderness. I started to pioneer a branch of knowledge as Islamic eschatology. And take away from these fellows in the universities who are dabbling with it and going nowhere. And after 25 years of work, I can see the fruit today. I can see the fruit today. And the work that I'm presently working on, the book in 3 volumes, From Jesus, the True Messiah, to Dajjal, the False Messiah, A Journey in Islamic Eschatology, takes you to Jerusalem and explains to you in a comprehensive way the events which are unfolding in Jerusalem and makes it possible for you to understand the reality of what's happening there and therefore to be able to respond appropriately to it. I wish I could continue for another half an hour and leave the monetary world and go to the economy and the market, the banking system, go to the political system, go to the educational system, the secular system of education, go to the feminist revolution, go to the world of time, the system of time that Dajjal has taken away from us and replaced it with bogus secular time. All of these subjects must be combined together. I can't do a lecture for another hour, an hour and a half. I have done this because you all are sending emails to me. Sheikh, tell us, respond to us. What's happening in the Holy Land? What's happening in Jerusalem? Respond, respond, respond. Yes. These people who want, fast food, You heard about fast food? Yes, fast food. They don't have time to go in the kitchen and prepare a meal, taking your time. Fast food. So fast knowledge, fast knowledge. No, this is not. Imran Hussein doesn't engage in fast food and fast knowledge. You got to do your homework. The Quran is absolute truth. The Quran explains all things. And the Quran explains what is happening in the Holy Land. Do not betray the Quran. Do not disrespect the Quran. Do not leave the Quran as something forsaken. Our Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam made a dua to Allah. A complaint to Allah. And Allah put that complaint in the Quran. It is in the 25th surah of the Quran. And this is what he says. بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. وقال الرسول. And the Messenger of Allah said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, يا رب, O my Lord God, إِنَّ قَوْمِ اتَّخَذُوا هَذَا الْقُرْآنَ مَهْجُورًا. My people have forsaken this Quran. What pathetic words. You forsake the Quran when you no longer go to the Quran to search for that which explains the world today. I pray that Allah may save you and me for having to answer on Judgment Day, for having forsaken the Quran. Thank you. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.